Hello and welcome to Insight Into, a podcast that opens the door on a business to gain a greater understanding of what it is they actually do and makes them tick. Today, I'm joined by Georgina Landry, a partner at Best & Co. Georgina has been at the company for 10 years, so join her as she enthuses about the work, what it is they do, the trends she thinks are coming up, and what it was that led her to join the company in the first place. So welcome to my guest today, Georgie Landry from Best & Co.
Thanks very much. Hi, Bella. Good to be here.
It is indeed. Now, I think many people listening will know quite a lot about maybe Best & Co, but I think it would be great if you could either give me your elevator pitch or tell me something about Best & Co, what you do, and also your role there as well, Georgie.
I'm a partner at Best & Co, and we are a brand and design agency specialising in the financial services sector. And it was set up, if I just give you some background, it was set up over 20 years ago by Jonathan Baker, my business partner. I joined 10 years ago, and between us, we run it, and we're supported by a great team.
Before you came to Best & Co, I understood you worked in advertising for many years. What would be the skills you feel you brought to Best & Co?
I think primarily it's probably looking at brand strategy would be one part of it. Obviously, with any big advertising campaign, we're starting off from the point of what is the brand about? What is the campaign message we're trying to communicate? So that bigger picture thinking is probably something that I've been able to bring into Best & Co, alongside overseeing large-scale projects. So sometimes we are doing quite small ad hoc projects. Other times we are doing what we call a full brand refresh. So everything from coming up with the new identity, thinking about the strategic messaging, thinking about the web presence, and obviously the whole fundraising cycle if it's a private equity firm, or potentially looking at the sort of rollout of the brand campaign across all corporate materials for other types of firms. So it's a broad remit, and I think my background in advertising has given me the foundation for that.
I mean, it's interesting you just mentioned there about brand refresh, because I think there might be lots of people thinking that maybe with the kind of current economic climate, you know, it could be potentially worrying for some businesses. Do you think there's still a place for a brand refresh? And what would you perhaps be saying to clients that might be coming and speaking to you?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think at any time, we're always trying to balance, you know, budget constraints with what the client needs. And I think, of course, if it's a new company launching, at the very least, they're going to need logo, brand identity, some form of web presence. But even if it's not that particular sort of motivator at this point in time, I think what does tend to happen is when it's time to think about, does our communications still reflect our brand as it stands today? So, for example, if you're launching a new fund, maybe it's your third, fourth, or fifth fund in the market, things might have changed quite a bit since your first or second fund. And it could be a very good time to have a think about your brand and how that's coming across and how the strategic messaging, does that still reflect your brand positioning? So I think a new fund can be a good time to think about brand. And it doesn't have to be a full brand refresh. It might be that it's time to think about the messaging on the website. It's time to think about the quarterly reports and how those are looking. And of course, there's always DDQ and PPM at fundraising times, which we need to have good consideration.
I mean, that's just such a key thing, isn't it? Because as you say, businesses are constantly evolving, changing, and therefore being able to ask those questions and actually take a step back and look. And obviously, that's one of the things that you bring, isn't it, to that, your expertise to help them ask the good questions. So are there any other trends that you've noticed in the last year that might be worthwhile kind of flagging up for people listening?
I think one thing that has been cropping up again and again is the focus on the DDQ document. I think historically those documents were very plain, done in Word, Times New Roman, not a lot of thought perhaps put into the design side of it. And they were seen relatively run-of-the-mill, of course hugely important, but not something that necessarily got designed in a very considered way. That has certainly changed in the last year or so. We have seen more requests for a well-considered design DDQ document, and we've loved getting involved with that, and we've actually produced quite a few in the last year, which has been great.
And why do you think that has, people are kind of looking and changing? Is that because we're in a world where we want to see things that engage us? What is the kind of key factor that has actually led to that change?
I think probably that people recognizing that, you know, investors are receiving a lot of these, and so they need to stand out amongst their peers. I think, you know, it's also about, if it's the first time you're bringing in new investors into your particular orbit, that it's become recognized that this is a crucial touch point for the investors. So creating the right impression from the outset is really important. And so whereas that might have been done at the PPM stage, I think people are taking it just that one step earlier and doing it at the DDQ stage.
Okay. And without giving you a crystal ball, Georgie, what trends do you think are going to continue into 2024? Or what are you beginning as you sort of horizon scan thinking, actually, this is really important for our clients to know?
So I think obviously ESG is a big topic and very much a growing part of the business, both for us, but also in the sector. I think whereas historically people have been reporting on ESG developments within their quarterly reports for some time, the change that certainly happened over the last year or two would be the move towards ESG annual reports. So we're doing a lot more annual reports for ESG, which is great. I think also the way people talk about ESG and think about ESG is changing a bit. So one of the things we're noticing is that whereas the focus a year or two ago was on perhaps UNPRI and how to report to that, people have started to accept that there's obviously a lot of different regulatory bodies out there. It is confusing. And maybe it's about stepping back for a moment and thinking about what is the strategic intent of our portfolio companies and how they report on ESG in terms of financial materiality. So what are the big important strategic objectives for the portfolio company? And then how does that fit into ESG? And then how do those themes then answer certain regulations such as UNPRI or the SFDR? So I think it's a different way of looking at it and a different approach.
Brilliant. Well, gosh, there's so many different things to take on board. Georgie, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. And thank you so much for giving up your time.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.